time again, Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is The Ooze. I'm T.C. Downey, and with me on the air is Lehi. Lehi, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. Got my my drink, and I'm ready to roll.
Right on. Well, I'm slapstick tired and a little high, so we'll see how this all plays out. I've been busy, man. Been a busy boy, so I wish I really had something exciting to say, but most of my thinking has been very task-oriented, at least as of lately. I did, kind of ponder if anybody who's actually, put together, a theory of the philosophy of tattooing or something like that. I thought it would be kind of neat to create a dogma of sorts for tattoo artists.
Make a dogma?
A dogma. Create a religious practice. The Hindus would call it this type of ceremonial practice. They would call it a puja. It's something that they actually do every day multiple times. And it's the same kind of idea I was thinking with the tattoo. I mean, you see what was the name of that movie? Aquarium, I think it was, where they had the gun, or whatever it was. It was a fighting style using pistols. There's this whole philosophy of physical movement based around the possession of a pistol.
I don't think I've heard or seen of that.
Was the movie called Aquarium or Equilibrium, honey? Equilibrium, that's the name of the movie. Anyway, you should check it out if you haven't. It's really cool. It's form of martial arts based around a big fucking pistol in your hand.
That's badass. I heard that such a thing existed. Or does it only exist in the movie?
Well, it might only exist in the movie. I don't know. I'd have to probably use Wikipedia. Yeah, as a matter of fact, let me try that real quick. See if I can find it. In the meantime, I was thinking about it, and I know the ancient Japanese had kind of a ritual base around the art of tattooing, so it might be something to actually look into. That would be kind of neat on my part.
Aren't there a lot of ancient traditions that incorporate tattooing as a rite of passage?
Yeah, as a rite of passage, absolutely. But I mean, the philosophy built specifically around how you get tattoos, where you get tattoos, what kind of tattoos you get. I mean, all of these things actually come into play. I see people with all different kinds of tattoos. And to answer the question about gun kata, which is what it's actually called, or gun fu, it is a real martial art.
Badass.
And it's actually not just using pistols, man, but shotguns, Uzis, rocket launchers.
No shit.
So.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So watch out, man, because that motherfucker might not just be packing. He might be a master of gun fu.
Maybe there should be tattoo fu.
Tattoo fu, I'm telling you, man. That's it. That's how I'm going to make my name big. I'm going to be the tattoo fu guy.
So what kind of dogma would you, if you were to come up with dogma for tattooing, what would it be?
Well, for one thing, I've learned a couple of techniques when it comes to drawing lines and shading that I think are very interesting, and they're unique to the specific type of needle that you use. the different and where you're tattooing. Like, for instance, if you're entering the skin, just your normal epidermis, you would enter it at a 45 to 90 degree angle, depending on what type of work you're doing, whether it's lining or shading.
Interesting.
But if you're shading a lip, if you're using a shader on a lip, you actually turn the machine to 22 degrees, and then you're doing an oblong motion, not a circular motion, an oblong motion. It's actually a fact, if you were doing a circular motion tattooing somebody's lip, you would literally just be slicing it up.
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So you could say making a science out of it, some people would say, is if you're saying dogma for tattooing, it sounds more like a science, what you're describing. But what's the difference between dogma and science?
I think science is just another form of dogma. I mean, dogma is a set of rules or principles, you know, that you govern yourself by. They're kind of done in a religious fashion. They're not necessarily done on a conscious level all the time.
Makes sense.
So, I don't know, while we were waiting to come on the air, we actually decided we would kind of talk about time, and I'm sitting here trying to think about how we're going to begin to approach that. I guess the first thing that we need to answer is time real? Does time really exist? I mean, is it something that is truly there, or is it an imagined thing?
I think it really depends on definitions. I mean, what you mean by time. I think that, personally, I think there are two different types of time, and people tend to confuse the two because they're very closely related. I mean, you know, they talk about space-time continuum and the theory of relativity, and in that sense, there is a real phenomena that they call time, for lack of a better term, because it's more related to what we call time. I mean, I think about the GPS system. Our GPS satellite system works the way it does because they take into account relativity, which incorporates their definition of time, which, you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not well-versed in this, but I'm fairly certain that that there is a real thing called time. It's just not what everybody thinks it is. And I also think that there is a human invention also called time. It's a sticky subject. And I've had the conversation, like, many times throughout my life, like, even in high school, like, I would argue with friends about whether time is real or not. And they'd always say, well, it's a man-made concept. But any concept that we have is man-made because we came up with the idea. It's just a description that we came up with.
It's just a description of an event that we recognize. So, I mean, I think in that case, if we're talking about something, then it's most definitely a thing and therefore real. I know that sounds kind of silly, but I mean, ultimately, when you look at things, if you are talking about something, whether it exists in a material sense or not, you're referring to a thing, which kind of gives it an automatic, sense of entitlement to its own existence.
Right. Something that has an actual effect or influence on you.
Right on. Yeah, absolutely. So it's real to you. And this is where a lot of the idealists that are out there get away with their belief is reality statement, because in a lot of senses, if it's something that you perceive as being there, it's real. I mean, try to convince somebody with schizophrenia that shadow on the wall isn't threatening to rape them.
Schizophrenics are very interesting in that sense, because the most common type of hallucination with the type of schizophrenics that hallucinate, the most common type of hallucination is auditory hallucination. And when they do MRI scans on these people, when they're having hallucinations, the part of their brain responsible for hearing shit is going off, as if they were hearing something. Yet there is no external stimulus to actually create that. So in their minds, they really are hearing that shit, but it's just in their head.
Right. Well, I mean, the question becomes, you know, if you physiologically damage the nerves connecting from your brain to your eyes, but you didn't, like, realize that or know that they were damaged, the chances are you would still think that you see.
Yep.
You know, know what I mean?
That actually does happen to some people with, I can't remember the name of the disease, but it causes somebody to go blind, but it's a slow process. And while they're going blind, they still think they can see.
Right, that's exactly it. I know there's documented cases of it, and I'm really not very well prepared tonight, but it makes me kind of wonder if, in that same sense, if it's not the fact that we've had an activity. I mean, Burgess' theory was that everything had its own measure of time, and that each thing's measure of time at its most basic breakdown was a breath. Like, for man, our time is measured by our very next breath. We know that we're progressing forward because we have taken another breath. And the earth,
I guess that's a good way to do it.
Right. The earth, you know, the earth knows a day has passed when the sun moves completely around at once. Or actually vice versa, but you know what I'm saying.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense when coming up with units of measurement for time. A breath would be a good way for someone to measure something, because typically somebody is going to have... yeah, it's true that, you know, sometimes we do things faster or slower.
Excuse me.
I mean, like, most of the time, during a given day, somebody is going at a certain pace that causes their heartbeat to go a certain rhythm and their breathing to be a certain way. And so they use it as a standard of measurement because it's predictable.
Right. I mean, you would think at your most basic, at your most basic set of consciousness, the first basic moment of consciousness, the first thing that you would become aware of are the sounds of your own body and the movements of your own body. So what's that?
I said, yeah, your own sense of yourself.
Yeah. So that becomes, an indicator that there is a natural time. So there's our second one. The first one is because we can talk about it. It's there. But the next one is the fact that there is that next breath that happens. And I think that actually kind of gets tricky when we're talking about it, because is that next breath really happening, or is it just a continuation of the one prior? You know, we could psychologically be on a skip and never really realize it.
Yeah, and I've heard the argument before, too, that time becomes meaningless when you're dead, but everything becomes meaningless when you're dead, so it's kind of, yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing, though, man. I mean, if you really think about it, if time is ultimately the most basic measure of things, then where does time really begin? And I don't really mean that in the sense of, like, a long, 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 long time ago began. I mean that time has to, for it to happen, where does it originate at? What is beginning of the peak that is one measure of time?
Well, as far as space-time goes, it could be argued that time started with the Big Bang, because when I was looking into that, looking into the Big Bang and the universe and all that, I found that, I'm not a scientist, so I just give a disclaimer that I may or may not know what the fuck I'm talking about. but that you can't, that space and time are inseparable, that you can't have one without the other. So the Big Bang, before the Big Bang, there was no space either. There was a singularity. There was no three-dimensional space. There was no real dimensions in the first place, which is kind of weird to say, but that space and time developed later. I guess you could say milliseconds. It's kind of weird to talk about. I mean, it's like, well, what happened before? Well, there was no before because that's impossible. But they talk about how space itself is expanding with matter. If that makes any sense.
It does. The thing I'm really trying to get at, though, is not when did time begin? Because when you talk about time in the sense that you are, like the Big Bang, and then it just continuing on, it seems like this really long exhale is all it is. This one really long exhale. But to me, it would seem, and I'm going to say seem, I'm by no means an expert or anything like that, but it would seem to me that time itself almost moves like breath does, or like the revolution of a planet does, or the cycling of seasons, or
right, so,
a movement. So it pulses.
Right. So by that logic, you could say that there was a beginning to time, and there may be an end to time.
Yes, by that logic, you can definitely say that, but what I'm looking for is just like your breath has a moment in which you begin to inhale, and then a moment in which you begin to exhale, and there are moments in between those when you fully inhaled and when you fully exhaled, and every stage in between that, if you look at the beginning of the inhale, where is the beginning of time? When does that next second start? That's kind of more of what I'm getting at.
Well, it's kind of funny because if we pretend that right now, like if we right now pretended there was no time, and then we said, well, okay, we're going to start time now, and we'll pretend that it's the same time, we could count a second differently. So our measurements are going to be different.
Right.
Or they can be.
I mean,
although
have
I guess.
You ever, please go ahead, man.
I was gonna say. I mean, there are certain ways to measure things that people use, like crystal quartz or atomic decay, to measure. I guess you could. I guess people agree upon those standards.
Yeah.
But measurements. That's all they really are, is agreed upon intervals. Those breaths are agreed upon. So our measurement is completely made up. Our measurements of time are human. And
so again, we come back to there are two parts to time. There's this man-made description, but there's this real thing that exists over here that we're describing. So there's never really a separation at all. Between those two, it's just one is how we talk about it, the other is how it's actually experienced.
Isn't that, that's kind of like how it is with just about anything. We kind of scratch the surface, but we never grasp the whole.
Yeah, it goes back to that idea that I could, you know, mail you a picture of a white mangrove, and you would know, and you could possibly know absolutely everything about it, but if you've never actually seen a white mangrove before, I'm sure there are billions of details that are intimately known just by experiencing it.
It's very true. Anything you can learn in a book doesn't do justice to the real thing.
What I think is interesting is that time was first measured by the flowing of sand through an hourglass. That someone thought to measure, and this kind of plays back into another theory of mine, which is that time in itself is actually a measure of a distance traveled. And that's
now that makes a lot more sense. Like Light Year.
It seems to.
Like Light Years.
What's that?
I mean, Light Year. Yeah, like Light Years. Light Years is a measurement of time and distance.
Right. The thing that causes a problem, though, with this idea is that you can sit still for a length of time. So what distance is being accomplished in what sense?
Well, technically, we're moving
forward.
We think we're sitting still, but we're actually moving.
Yeah. That's true. Even when we're sleeping, we're actually still moving. So.
In many ways. I mean, cosmically, the planet is still moving around, and the sun is still moving around in the galaxy, and the galaxy is still moving around. But on a micro level, our particles are still moving. So, yeah, time and distance of movement and time are inseparable, is what we're getting back to again.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious what other people think about this. If anybody wants to call in,
it would be interesting. I mean, the whole thing, honestly, this is the kind of conversation you want to eat like 40 hits of acid and smoke like a pound of pot and have. It's not one of those that you want to just be stone cold sober going into, because it just all starts to sound like nonsense eventually.
Sometimes in college I thought that the same thing. Like, I actually had this astronomy professor, and he actually studied astrophysics and quantum physics. And he said that quantum physics scared the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I caught him after class, and I sort of like plugged in with questions about it because I thought it was interesting. And he's like, yeah, like you learn shit that will make you like stay up at night because of the implications.
Right on. You know, there's another part of this whole equation that really kind of perplexes me, and that's the fact that one of the ways that you can look to realize that time is there is by being able to remember or recall or look back and see what has happened. And you can verify it because you've experienced that it has happened, so time has passed. But the peculiar part about that is there's no forward mechanism to it. There's no polar opposite. You can't.
We're constantly looking back.
What's that?
We're constantly looking back.
Yeah, we're always looking into a reverse direction. There is no way to look forward. I mean, there are people who claim to have the ability to see the future, but most people chuckle and call them crackpots, do they not?
Right. Well, here's the thing about it is people do try to predict the future, but the way they do it is they base it upon past experiences. There is no forward mechanism. We're basing our predictions and expectations upon what has happened already. And that shit's always happening.
Yeah. It's crazy because we take that next breath for granted. I mean, let's face it, the breath after the next one could be the absolute end of everything. The space-time continuum, the fabric of the universe could just rip apart and deplete like some weird rubber band snapping back to its dense state. And, I mean, it could happen in a rapid motion that everything's just done, it's over. So it's a very peculiar thing because not only is there not a forward mechanism, but we take for granted that there will be that next breath, that we'll wake up the next morning.
Just kind of go into it automatically.
And we expect
pulling? I mean, it's obviously, it's like there is no push, there is only pull.
Right. It's a very peculiar thing. I mean, when you look at it from that particular angle, holy shit, you just never can really tread forward. It makes me wonder if we spend our entire lives walking backwards and looking ahead of us,
That's what I'm thinking right now is, while we're talking about this, I'm just imagining myself walking backwards.
I mean, retrace your steps. I mean, imagine going all the way, like, right here, right now. This is, you know, Lehigh age, what, 25?
25. Yeah, 25.
All right. Now take every step you've ever taken, make every move you've ever made backwards, and let's see if we can't get back to Lehigh Zero.
Back to what?
Lehigh Zero.
Lehigh's Hero?
Yeah, like, you remember the old VHS tapes? You could hit reverse, and it was a slow reverse. You could literally watch the whole movie play backwards.
Yeah. You can still do that with DVDs if you have the right remote. But yeah, I remember VHS.
This is what I'm suggesting, though, man. What if you just hit rewind? Oh, I'm tired of being 25. I want to be 16 again. And just consciously went backwards.
That's a trip.
I mean,
I wouldn't really mind going back to that time. I mean, being an adult is cool in some ways, but there were some things about being a minor that I had less responsibility and I could do some fucked up shit that I couldn't do now.
Oh, I loved being a minor. Back then it didn't hurt to do the fucked up shit I do now.
Not that I never got in trouble, but it's like, you get in trouble as a minor. Oh, like, I guess, like, if you really, really fuck up bad, you can get in as much trouble as an adult, but typically, most people, like, when you're a minor, the same infractions aren't going to hurt as much.
Right on. Well, apparently we're mumbling, so let's, try to keep speech clear and crisp, so this way the 6'1" Russian blonde won't kick our ass.
Yeah, she'll stick the techno Viking on us.
Yeah. I mean, any girl is crazy enough to have a cock tattooed on the side of her neck. You know, gotta watch her.
Kind of hard to not watch a giant.
Yeah, unless you're below the knees, then, you know, you might not realize they're above you. So anyway, time, I mean, it's just a fucked up concept, and as we're sitting here talking about it, I'm looking over and I'm realizing, hey, we've killed a half hour of time. Woohoo!
Half hour of time.
Yeah.
Ain't that a bitch? What is a half hour? Like, what is a minute?
That's a good question. A minute apparently is 60 breaths or something. Probably more than that. We can ask the nurse, Sammy. I think she's here.
She deals with pills. She's not a nurse.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because she deals with pills, we can say, how many more breaths does somebody take when you prescribe them amphetamines than when they get a prescription of opiates?
That's funny. I don't know, man. I mean, I thought time was a pretty good winner. It got us halfway through. If there's anything else, we can switch, because I don't think we're going to come to the bottom of it.
Nah. I'm sure that if we had about a decade of mathematics behind us and astrophysics, we could probably talk a little bit more about it.
Right on, but neither of us have that, so... I think the next thing that we might talk about is spewing shit forth like you know what you're talking about when it's obvious you couldn't comprehend the books you were reading. I mean,
it's
annoying,
that?
Man. When people talk about shit like they know, like they're the expert, when it's obvious to most people who've read or study particular things that they have no idea what they're talking about. It's just, it's painful in some ways, man. And I wonder why people do that, why they are so arrogant as to think that they can get away with selling some bullshit lie just by repeating the same sentences over and over and over again.
Are you referring to someone in particular, or is this completely hypothetical?
Well, it's completely hypothetical, and I have a few people in mind that do it. I mean, I see it most of the time, most of the time from a lot of different people, where they just start talking about things like they're some form of expert.
Actually, I could tie that idea into what we were previously talking about. One time when I was in Utah visiting friends and family, blah, 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 I was at my buddy's house, and one of our mutual friends was over there with her boyfriend. And her boyfriend, he's kind of a dumbass, and he thinks he's really smart because he reads Wikipedia all day. Not that Wikipedia has a lot of bad information, but anyway, this guy, I was arguing with him about the Big Bang, and he was trying to tell me that the Big Bang happened because matter and antimatter collided, and that created the Big Bang. I'm like, no. Before the Big Bang, there was no matter or antimatter. Those came later. You have to understand that that before the Big Bang, that all the laws of physics were combined. Like, it's kind of weird to explain that, but there was no room, there was no space or time for even a proton to exist. There was nothing. But he's like, oh, no, it was just because I've been studying this for years. Well, obviously you haven't missed, even, I guess you're a retard, because if you've been studying this for years and haven't realized that that is not how it is, yeah, you've got to be fucking retarded.
Right on. I mean, see, that's what frustrates me, though, is when people just open their mouths. I mean, at least take a little bit of time to become familiar with the fact that there really isn't much that's grounded into stone. And if it is grounded into stone, it's not like it can't be polished out.
Yep.
So, you know, what really kills me about it is most of the time folks that are doing this are quick to tell other people that they should just, you know, be big enough to admit that they're wrong. And then they quote some example, a mythical example of when they've admitted that they were wrong to, you know, kind of passively insinuate that they're better than you.
I think politicians do this a lot.
Horses' asses do it a lot. I mean, since politicians fall firmly in that category, I agree with you. I mean, that's the kid on the playground you just want to punch in the fucking nose. Because no matter how many times you can explain to him that Venom is not Spider-Man, Venom is a character after Spider-Man, he still wants to argue that when Peter Parker got the goop on him, that was Venom. But that wasn't.
No,
that was
it was not. That was not
Spider-Man.
Venom.
Hey, you just want to punch him in the fucking nose and tell him to go back and read it again, because he's obviously missed something.
And it's like one of those, like more specifically, that's one of those things that is pretty obvious, but it gets a lot worse in different venues. It's like when you get into philosophy or religion and the occult, is sometimes somebody will read something and they'll completely miss the fucking point, when it's obvious to those around them what was really going on. Or at least as close as you can get.
That's precisely, you know, it's precisely what I'm getting at, is read it a few times. Make sure you understand. And if you don't understand, think possibly that there's more than one answer to consider it could be. You know, I mean, the thing for me is all of these things that I talk about, all of these things that I, you know, say, hey, this is this, are directly relative to what I've practiced. And I'm not necessarily based upon what I've read. I generally tend to use things that I've read to reinforce things that I've already found to be true. And I think that that's important because, you know, you can read and study and become an expert on Christianity and on revelations and on raptures and all that stuff, but that doesn't buy your ticket to the pearly gate. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't have anything else. I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah. It just doesn't... It doesn't mean that there's a heaven. Just because you, you know, immersed yourself in this, you could be learning a completely wrong teaching.
Yeah, man. I could play Halo all day long and become, like, the best player in Halo, but that does not mean that there is a Master Chief.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's a bad example, but I don't know why that came to me.
I don't know. I would say as long as you're not fucking trying to go out to war thinking you're a trained soldier.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It kind of
reminds me of this article I read on crack.com about how a lot of people are into the zombie apocalypse kind of shit, or teenagers that are into violence that they can get away with. And you say somebody who goes to war when they're not a soldier, it's the same kind of thing. People they want something to be real because it appeals to certain primal instincts.
Right on. Well, absolutely. The thing that's really funny, I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of playing Need for Speed Underground, you know, for years on end and being excellent at it, and then getting behind the wheel of a car trying to drift on the side of a mountain.
Wait, what?
What I'm saying is playing a simulated video game and thinking that you can fly a helicopter because you played the simulated video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just pipe dreams. But yeah, it's just like you were saying with those people. They read this literature, and they think they understand it and that they are an authority because they finished it.
Right. Right, it doesn't do you any good to quote Plato if you don't understand why he said what he said. You got laughed at for your Halo analogy, I see.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now. Oh, well. It's okay, Sarah. You didn't like my analogy, even though it worked. You laugh all you want. I'd like to see a better one. That's all I got to say.
So I'm entertaining this idea. I keep seeing you guys talking about a roast, and we've never actually done one here on the news. What? I mean, how would we do that? That would have to be an awful long roast.
There's a lot to roast.
Yeah, I mean, where would we start? What would we start with, like a list of names, or? I mean, I'm waiting.
Hey, what?
That's fine. Do we start with a list of names, or?
If there was to be a roast, honestly, I would put it out on a forum and ask who people want to hear to be roasted. And because then you can narrow it down. Because there's a lot of people to roast. There's a lot of dumbasses. And I can think of a few that might be popular, but still. You know, actually, we could go. Remember the thread that Jason put up about voting for the douchebag of the year, and we could pick him from that list and roast them. But with a roast, though, it's not really a roast if that person's not present. So we'd have to be able to get that person to show up for the whole time. And then that person, ideally, would be able to do their own jokes back.
Right, so it sounds a little more complicated than just, you know, ripping on people. You might actually have to do some coordination or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I did kind of do like a really small roast in my thin blog, but
yeah, I saw that.
Because Sarah was saying you don't roast just dumbasses, roast everybody. I roasted dumbasses and smart people, so yeah, that is tricky. It's not as easy as it sounds.
No, it's not. We would have to like advertise that there's going to be a barbecue, and
honestly, I think if we're going to do a roast, I think we would want to include all of the hosts, and that would require a coordinating which night it would be on and when people. At least the night it would be on, and if everybody could make it, and I don't think everybody could.
Yeah. We could aim for Wasburgus.
Say what?
A Wasburgus roast.
Ah, that's right. That is coming up soon, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Either that or actually, you know, the whole Easter Bunny thing's happening too, so that might be just as much quality.
Sammy says, do it up just like you guys did the Christmas prank edition. Seriously.
A whole show of ripping on people. I don't know if I would have that much to say about these ad tags.
Yeah, do we really want to waste a breath on these people? Really?
Yeah, well, you know, I just have to say that cooking out is complicated. It's not as easy as everybody thinks. You just don't start a fire and throw raw meat on there. You got to season it, you got to massage it, you know, got to get it tender, cook it just to the perfect level, which means you got to, you know, cut it open a couple times and kind of pace it.
Yep. You can't just grab a bunch of ingredients and throw them into a heat source and hope for a souffle.
Too funny.
Man,
sorry, I'm chuckling because we're torturing them, and it's great. So, 14 minutes left, and time has so down. That's another aspect I actually kind of wanted to point out about time before we get off the show here tonight. Whenever you're paying attention to time, whenever you're waiting for a specific time, like if you know at 3 o'clock you're going to get the world's best blow job and it's 2:30, you're going to be watching that clock every fucking second and it's just going to creep by. On the other hand, if you're having a good time and there's nothing really going on, you're just hanging out or whatever, time will just whip by. So.
Oh, yeah, when that time hits, it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Time is relative. Hence the theory of relativity, but
it's peculiar. It's just really strange, man. I mean,
when is now?
When is now? Yeah, well, now already passed. As soon as you said now, it was done.
It kind of seems like the present is the past.
That's exactly it, because we don't know that next second, man. We don't have a forward mechanism. It's just that
the present,
one
the present
second
is
time.
The past, and there is no future.
Yep.
Come on, everybody. Would it be fair to say that there is no future?
Didn't Jim Morrison say the future's uncertain and the end is always near?
Might as well be.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
I'm out of shit to say, man. So if you got something else to talk about, cool, let's throw it out there. But my brain is dead. Like I was telling you, man, I was up at fucking 6 a.m. and working by 7.
Well, I think somebody should call in and say something, because my brain is dead too. I need more alcohol.
And well, what are you drinking tonight?
I just had a Four Loko. Actually, it's kind of funny. The actual brand name Four Loko goes for like $2.80 after tax and all that shit. Except for the lemonade. The lemonade flavor goes for the same price as juice.
Really? So you're drinking the lemonade?
Yeah. And I've actually been, instead of driving to get anything, I've been walking everywhere.
It's interesting to me that Zach has all you fools drinking Four Loko.
It's cheap, dude. It really is. The only reason I drink it, if I had a choice in the matter, I would be drinking Mickey's all the time. I just think Mickey's is really good beer, even if it's... Some people might think it might be white trash. I don't give a fuck. I think it's delicious.
Right on.
But Four Loko, you pay... less than $3, and it's the equivalent of 4 drinks at once. So I get the Four Loko and get it cheaper, but I think I earned it because I get exercise to get to it.
Right on. All right, hang on. We got a call on the line. 484, you're on the news.
Uh-oh.
First of all, Lehi, I will talk about whatever I want.
You what?
I will talk about whatever I want.
Well, start talking.
Man, I don't have anything original to say.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything original to say? Prove me wrong.
Well, Sammy would like... She asked if I could perhaps explain to you how the roast edition would work, because you guys were overcomplicating it to a horrifying degree. I mean, all you have to do... you think of some people you don't like. It's that easy, and then you make fun of them for an hour. There you go.
Making fun of somebody for an hour is the easy part. The hard part is figuring out which person to make fun of, because I happen to hate a lot of people.
Well, then you do like 2 or 3 episodes.
It's so much fun to make fun of so many people, though, and there's some that I kick enough as it is.
Well, if you have any suggestions who you would like... Sarah, do you have a suggestion as to who you would like to hear roasted?
I'm thinking right now, you. Because you're being mean and being men and you don't understand something so
strange.
Okay, so the roast edition will be us making fun of ourselves. I'm pretty good at making fun of myself.
It's easy. You just make fun of people who are terrible, like Crystal or, I don't know, that crazy tranny that comes into chat now.
All right. The only way that I can think to make this, like, especially fun would be if everybody had to guess who it was.
Ah. Now, that would put a twist on things, but I could get behind. It's not say who it is. Because, oh, because the fun thing about, this would be kind of like, this would be kind of like that episode on Outbreak Edition where Jason was saying that he was talking about his experience over at the Cult of Cthulhu, but he didn't necessarily say that right away. And he was trying to see who would actually take the bait and become upset by what he was saying, because it actually applied to many people. And when he said it, whoever, he said, and he had the disclaimer, like, well, if you're getting upset by this, if this describes you, well, yeah.
Okay, something like that. I mean, that would make it kind of fun. On the other hand, you know, it might be fun just to poke fun of, like Tim's suggesting here, poke fun of people we actually like.
Say what?
Poke fun at people we actually like.
Oh, like Tim is saying.
Yes.
Hmm. That actually, so how would we do that, though?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll tell you what.
I mean, I kind of did that in my, I did that in my blog. There was people in there I liked.
Yeah, right on. I mean, it's, should not discriminate, definitely, but maybe dividing it into categories is the right idea. You know, you could call one, you know, cannon fodder, and, you know, they want it to, you know, their whatever, the top prime roast or whatever.
Maybe we should just roast each other, please. I'm not sure how we'll do it, but we'll just do it.
I say we tell everybody it's going to happen. We're going to do it, but here's the deal. We want a huge amount of participation, and so we'll hold out to either Easter or Walsh Purgis, depending on how long it takes to get people set. To antagonize people enough to say when are we going to do it?
Yeah, I think Walt Purgis is a good time.
Yeah, it sounds
hey,
right.
That, okay. Hey, that's the anniversary of my fallout with my ex.
There you go. You could roast
I just
her.
Wish,
that's fine.
Yeah, but I think it'd be better if she were actually paying attention. Because roasting people isn't as fun if they're not paying attention.
Right on. I think it's a quick way to find out who really pays attention.
That's a good point.
Right on. I mean, with all luck, we'll get fan mail.
Well, that's true. People, I guarantee you the people that we could roast have the ability to contact us.
Right on, and they got plenty of time. So, there you go. Alright, we got 4 minutes left. I say we kill this thing. I'm going my ass to bed. I'm tired, so. I've got to
get
back
tired,
here tomorrow
man.
Night. What's that?
You sound a little bit tired.
Yeah, I'm worn out, man. That fucking milling machine was not like. And it was very expensive, so it was stressful.
Mm-hmm. So for next weekend, I guess I was thinking I could come up with a topic ahead of time, and if you, I don't know if you'll have time to look it up, but when I come up with something, I'll come up with it early, and see if you have time to come up with some material on it, and I'll try to find some stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. If you you have a couple of topic suggestions, that'd be awesome. I will. I'll use my couple of hours in the AM when I have time to do research. I'm just really running out of shit to talk about, man. I talk about a bunch of shit all the time. You're gonna get gung fu from me or shit like that pretty soon because I'm running out of. I've been doing this, like I said, since June 28th of 2007. So, that's a long time to think of shit to talk about.
Well, I could bring some fresh stuff, but I just have to put some effort into it.
You know, we could always talk about the benefits of douche, speaking of fresh stuff.
The benefits are bad parts of that.
Right, I know.
Yeah, but, actually, I kind of want to talk about some stuff that people might not be familiar with. I know that I've talked to you about some of the stuff I've worked with, and with my brother and all that. I think I could bring up some relevant things that people aren't familiar with. Maybe something interesting. Maybe it'll bore people. I don't know.
Right on. We'll figure it out, man. Give me just shoot me a message on Facebook. We'll do it like that.
Will do.
Right on. All right, on that note, let's get the hell out of here, man. Have a good
night. All right, have a good weekend, man.
You too.